exalted, you are exalted. Shiriba karaboko, oh Lord, ribani baraboko, shiriri ribaya karaba, you are exalted. Oh Lord, shiriba rakaba da bada, giri bada 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 karabono, no de 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 ka. Exalted, shiri baya rabo, sedere ne 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 bo, shena da 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 karabo. Exalted, shiri bini koraba karabo, tu lu 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 da da ba da 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 da. You are exalted, oh Lord, Adonai. Karabata, 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 Karabata
The God who knows us, the God that formed us, the God that is in charge, the God that is in control, the God that is with us. Oh my God, the God that loves us, the God that is concerned for us. Cares for us, his Father is God that loves us, his God that cares for us, his Father that loves us, his Father that cares for us, Father that's in control, Lord, in control. He's the God that loves us, the God that loves us, the God that loves us, the God that is concerned for us. His God is concerned for us, is concerned for us. His Father, He is Lord of God, He is Lord of God, He is Lord of God. He's Lord of God, He's Lord of God, He's Lord of God. Lord, oh God, is Lord of all. 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 Surpassing glory is not from us but from you. a treasure in jars of open clay. Treasure in jars of pots of clay. I'm just a vessel that's available for you. Just a vessel that's available for you, Lord. You can use me, Lord. You can fill me, Lord. You can use me, Lord. You can break me, Lord. You can mend me, Lord. You can fill me once more, then use me. You can break me, Lord. You can mend me, Lord. You can fill me, Lord, and use me, Lord. You can break me, Lord. You can mend me, Lord. You can fill me, Lord, and use me. I'm just a vessel, a vessel, a vessel, a vessel, a vessel, available. Just a vessel, a vessel, a vessel, a vessel, a vessel, available. Just a vessel available for you, Lord. Just a vessel available. Just a vessel available for you, Lord. You can use me, Lord. You can use us, Lord. We cry for the nations, we cry for the nations, oh no. We cry for the nations, and lift up your glory, let your glory come. We cry for the nations, we cry for the nations, we cry for the nations, oh. Let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth, oh yes. Let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth, oh yes. Let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill the earth, let your glory fill this earth. First let it begin with me, my Lord. Let it begin with me, oh God. Fill me to overflow, fill me to overflow, fill me to overflow. I wanna be full of your glory in everything. Let my life story give you glory, give you glory. I'm just available, just a vessel that you can use. You can fill me, you can fill me. You can fill me, you can fill me, Lord. You can fill me, you can fill me, you can fill me, Lord. I'm just available, 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 available. I'm just available, 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 available. Father, I pray that you use us for the nations to bring the light of your gospel. Oh, use us for the nations, use us for the nations, use us for the nations. Thank you for South Sudan, thank you for Bangladesh, thank you for the nations, the nations, the nations, the nations that you have called us to. The nations, the nations, the nations, you have called us to serve you, called us to serve you. You have called us to reach out your name, to reach out your name. We represent your name to the kings and the prophets, to the kings and the nations. We represent your name to the kings and the nations, the prince of the nations. Oh, we represent your name to the kings and the nations, the priests and the nations. Oh yes, we represent your name to the kings and the nations, the priests and the nations. Oh yes, we trust in you and we look unto you. We depend on you, Lord. We trust in you and we look to you and we depend on you. You get them just available, just a vessel that you can use us. So gosh, Arabate, Sidi Bata Karabu, Sidi Didi Bash, and Akarabu, Sidi Didi Karabash, you can turn every dead situation and give it life. Oh, yes. He that is trusting you for help, he that is trusting you for life, he that is trusting you for grace, you can use them, 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 oh Lord, you can use them, you can use them. You can use me, Lord. You can use me, Lord. You can use me, Lord. Oh my God. You can use me, God. You can use me, Lord. You can use me, my God, for you can use me, Lord. Shiri bakarabu kopasi. You can use me, Lord, you can use me. I'm just available as the vessel that you can use me, Lord. I'm just available, just a vessel that you can use me, my Father. You can use me, Lord. Shiri bakarabu kubasi. You can use me. Kudibara bakashi didi kubasi. You can use me, Lord. Shiri barabu tukubasi didi. You can use me. Kurabache kiribu tukubashi didi karabu tukubasi da. Oh God, indeed you can use us. Shiri batakarabu tukubashi didi. Thank you for the new day. Thank you for the new way you can use us. So makarabu tukubashi didi karatisi. I am makarabu kubashi didi karabu tukubashi didi karaba. Imbarati kasa didi karabu tukubashi didi karabati kasa di. I arabashi didi karatisi didi karabu tukubashi didi karaditi didi makasi didi karaba. I am bukurabati karabati kasa didi karatisi didi karabatu. The carabu took a bush, Ambukorabata, sitting in the carabata cassid in the carabu took a bush, and Amba did the carabata cassid and the carabu took a bash and the carabati. I arabata shed in the carabata kaya carabu took a bash and the carabato. Amba tacassid in the carabu took a bush, the carabata cassid in the car. Amba tacassid and the carabu took a bush, the bass and the da. Amba cassid in the carabu took a bush, the carabu did the camacuba, miarabati, said the carabu took a bush, the carabu to ambatica, ambacash, the cabas, and the ambatucubash, the carabu took a bass, the carabu took a bush, the car, ambaticas, the ambatacash, the carabu took a bash, the carabu took a bash, the essay. Ese basi dike basi kide abakasa na da karabu tuku boshi dike de karabu tuku boshi dike da kada miya karabu tuku boku bosa na da karabu tuku boshi dike re matakasha na da ambakosa na da karabu tuku boshi dike de baka mbakarabu tukashi da mukarabu tuku boshi mbakarabu tukishi kide kara ambati karabu tuku boshi dike de kada ayarabu tukashi de karabu
rabutukubasa dada yerabasa dada okorabatakasha dada dada mokorabatakashi di erebasa dada da karabutukubasha dekele kadi di karabutukubasha de ambukubasha de karakarabu de karakabukubasa rimbo sada dada dada da karabutukubasha de karabatakashi de risende de karabutukubasha de karabutukubasha de Karabotoko bakabaka bakashi kidikidi karabako bashi kidikada karabaka bakase da rimbase de karabotoko boshi de amba karabotoko bashi kasa holy karabata kashi kidikada thank you Lord, thank you Jesus, you are God and there is no one else like you God. Speak to us this morning that we understand in a language that we understand. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God, and I believe it's another good morning that we have chance to listen to God's word. And thank you for always tuning in. I know that God's word comes forth and does not go back empty, and anyone who has purpose to hear from God's word, who has purpose to continually soak in the rain of God's word, will experience it and will know that the word of God prospers and the word of God has power. The word of God comes with authority, and the word of God is the one that will rescue us. It's the word that gives us life. It's the word that we need. It's the breath of heaven. It's the bread of life, and when we continually soak and sit under the rain of the word of God, then nothing becomes impossible. Then we receive guidance for life. We receive, you know, hope. We receive peace. We receive direction. And I know that even as you're partaking of this word, that God is speaking to you, irrespective of your location, irrespective of where I am, I know that God's word is not limited, and God's word keeps moving, and it is for us, and it's for this season that God has called us to wait on him, to trust in him, and to depend on him. So I just want to encourage you that you are much, much welcome. God is faithful to lead us. God has brought us this far, and I know that God is even taking us further beyond our knowledge, beyond our capacity, and even as we open up our spirits, that God shall speak to us with the depths of understanding. So I'm just grateful. This is Spirit and Life, and you're much, much welcome. Yeah, so we've been looking at God's Word, and we've been going through sonship, understanding the theme of sonship that we see in Romans chapter 8. You know, first of all, we started looking before the spiritual laws and the sinful nature, the conflict between sinful nature and the Holy Spirit, and the domination that and the law that is at work that leads to sin and death, which is the law of sin and death, and how it wages war with the law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And we've been explaining how whichever side you choose to follow, it can has its consequences. If you choose to follow the Holy Spirit and to be led by him, to be dominated by him, to be controlled by him, to be guided by him, that by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, then you shall be able to experience the liberty and to know what it means to be a son of God. And yesterday, we looked at the various, we've also looked at how to be led by the Spirit of God. And we all have also looked at the authority of the sons of God, where we are given authority, where is our place in the heavenly structure. And we know as sons of God, our place of authority is that we are at the right hand of the Father. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are just at his bosom. We are at his right hand. We rule with him. And we are in him and he is in us. And there's a mystery called koinonia, which is that mystery of fellowship where we are in God and God is in us, and God is in our hearts and is not as far as we would think he is. And the highest place is in the highest place in the heavens, which is far above all thrones, all dominions, all powers, all principalities, all forces of darkness, be it angels. And so any believer that knows their authority, that knows their position in the heavenly structure, has the capacity to rule, has the capacity to not be concerned about those that just want to disqualify them because of their visions of angels. But anyone who knows they are a son, anyone who knows where Christ is, anyone who knows where their lives are in Christ, then has this ability, has this power, has this understanding that the devil cannot find them because they have to find Christ. And if anything that we've said, if anything that is in our lives that is contrary to the will of God for a moment or for a season, then that means that is a season that has been allowed to our lives. And God works in ways in which he creates seasons and moments to draw us to him, that we might focus more on being than on doing. Because the challenge with us as believers is that many times we are concerned with the external functions, we are concerned with external realities of so much activity, be it wedding planning, be it operations, be it singing, be it, you know, service, that we forget at times all that God needs of us is just to spend time with him. And when this happens, what he does is that he can create an opportunity that limits you from your movement, limits you from your activity. There he can spend time with you, and that is a time of growth. Even eagles go through such moments of growth where initially they mount up, and then there are times where they come to the ground and they shed off their feathers and they have to depend on other eagles to survive. But in that moment, their feathers grow again and they grow more majestic and they can fly again. So it's you could even call it pruning, in that God takes us through seasons of pruning, so where in that season of pruning, he's able to deal with issues in our lives, he's able to deal with things that will hinder the flow of the gospel, and he's able to even just give us rank and take us to another level. So always take such moments of chastening as important, that those are important moments of growth. In every school, you have to go through exams to pass, and God is also like that. The Bible says, everyone should rejoice at the, you know, at the discipline of the Lord, at the chastening of the Lord, because the Lord disciplines everyone he accepts as a son. So there's a discipline that God allows, and this is that means by meaning allow, he allows the devourer, or he allows the enemy to maybe touch an area of our life that might not be fully surrendered to God. And that's an area that God wants us to see, address, and to know that he wants to handle. Yeah, so it is a blessing of God that we can to know him. And so as we continue to look at Romans chapter 8, so if we read, I want us to just open Romans chapter 8, and today we will try and tackle. Yesterday we looked at being heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, and maybe just to top up to that if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And verse 18, it says that, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." There is a glory that shall be revealed in us, but there is also a suffering that we go through in this present time. You know, Paul was writing, I believe, either from prison or maybe through the sufferings that he has underwent. And you see, Paul listed a lot of this, you know, sufferings that he has gone through. And there are places where he listed how 5 times he was caned by the Jews. You know, he suffered shipwreck 3 times. He faced wild beasts. He fought wild beasts in Ephesus. He was under pressure from men, you know, from his own kinsmen, from the Jews, pressure from the Gentiles. And daily he was burdened with the constant prayer for the saints. But yet he says, even though he labored all the more, it was the grace that of God that worked in him. And so he recognized that there are suffering, there are certain sufferings that we are going through in this present time.
You know, it's one thing to think that that it's one thing to believe that suffering does not or should not come to a believer, and that is okay too. I mean, depending on the grace that God has given you, it is possible that you can live a life that does not involve suffering, because the Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2 that Christ himself bore, 2:23-24, he himself bore our suffering in his body. In his body, by his stripes we are healed, that we might receive the salvation. So Christ already paid the price for our suffering. He paid the price for our pain. He paid the price for our sickness. He paid the price for our infirmities. He paid the price for our poverty. And so these are things that are not supposed to be part of the life of the believer. However, because we live in a wicked world, we live in an evil world, then we also find that there's a law, there's also a law that of wickedness that is at work in men who oppose the gospel, and some of them have allowed themselves to be used by the devil. They have allowed themselves to be used by demons. They have allowed themselves to be used by whatever forces, even by their own desires to stop the work of God, either through systems, either through, you know, the systems that have been established. There was a moment we talked about the Assyrian system, which seeks to destroy the gospel, which seeks to destroy everything that is contrary to its belief system. And there are those also that focus on, you know, whether it is engaging in slavery, Egyptian system, whether it is, you know, using immorality to draw people away from God, you know, and Jezebel's spirit and all those various spirits that's in Babylon, where there's mixture, where that seek to draw people away from the throne of God. And this drawing away results in weak believers, in people who are not fully aware of what they need to do. But what I wanted to mention is that there is another type of suffering that we see in Scripture that is good, in that there's a type of suffering, I think it's James that tells us that if when we suffer, we should not suffer because we have committed sin, like bank robbers or like thieves or like criminals who have been caught. But if we suffer for doing good, then we have been counted worthy of Christ, worthy to share in his sufferings. That means that there is a suffering, there is a pain that comes with spreading the gospel. There is a pain that comes with standing out for the gospel. There is a pain, and Paul experienced it. He was thrown in prison countless times, and we can see that the church, the early church, was persecuted. And so there's a persecution that God allows to refine us, because God teaches us in his word that after the fire, we shall come out as gold. So don't be surprised if you find that your name has been maligned, if you find that your name has been abused, if you find that your name is thrown in the gutters, and you don't even understand why and how it happened, and you will not imagine that the things that are being said by believers. But what I can assure you is that when that happens, in fact, you must rejoice the more. Why? Because you have been counted worthy to share in the sufferings of Christ. Romans 8, verse 18, for I reckon, I mean, he is saying that I am convinced, I take into account, you know, I reflect, you know, Paul is so detailed, and he is so, like, even one verse is so full of mysteries and so full of compounding that if we continually take the time to understand and read it in context, then we are able to draw the full measure of it. And you see, so he says that, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, that means when he speaks of sufferings, this refers to the persecution, refers to the difficulties, refers to the trials, refers to the processes that believers are going through, that God is using to refine them.
that God is using to chasten them, that God is using to make a difference in their lives and to take them from one level of glory to another. And always remember that the examiner is silent during the exam. So at times you might feel like, oh God, why am I going through this and I'm not hearing your voice? But you see, in such moments, God wants to test our hearts, to see our hearts, and I assure you, all that God is working in our lives is glory. I want you to think of any time you're going through such a moment, glory is coming out. In fact, that should be at the back of your mind, that this suffering is leading to glory. This suffering is leading to glory. This suffering is resulting in glory. Because in the spirit, we grow in maturity. We grow based on the battles that we have fought. God does not use anyone who he has not tested. And you can see even with Abraham, God already had called Abraham. He knew that he would be the father of many nations. And he had given him his son, the son of the promise, which is Isaac. But God asks him to sacrifice his own son. Now, God is not after blood or is not after that he does not enjoy the death of sons or that. But he wanted to see and to test the heart of Abraham. Abraham, who I have given you the inheritance of all the earth. Do you still, can you give me your most prized possession? Remember, there was a time Abraham cried that, oh God, you've given me everything, because he was rich in cattle, in silver, in gold, and in all precious things. But he did not have a son, and he had cried out to God that, oh, the person that shall inherit all that he had was going to be his servant Eliezer. And he was not too happy about that. But God said that, don't worry, I am El Shaddai, the all-sufficient God. And that means that in everything I become sufficient. I show my sufficiency for you. And so God is able to make all grace abound for the believer, especially those that give. And we read that in 1 Corinthians where it says, and the God of all grace is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, and at all times you may be abundantly and sufficiently provided for. So there is a promise that God gives. There is a revelation. There is insights that God gives to those that follow him. The secret of the Lord is with those that fear him. And there are things that we know. And by God's Spirit, he continues to reveal them to us. So suffering, when you go through suffering, James chapter 1 verse 4, it says, consider it pure joy when you go through trials and temptations of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith must develop perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Anyone who wants to go far in ministry will face moments where either they will be wrongly accused, they will face moments where they will be tested, they will face moments where they will go through certain trials. Now, there are some three common areas that God tests. And number one, I believe that God tests us is in one area of resources, and that is money and or gold. And this is an area of a test where you will find that either you will lack it, and God can take you through a season of suffering where you lack resources, or where you do not have enough, you're out of a job, or you're going through a difficult challenge, and indeed your financial situation is wanting, and yet you are praising God, yet you're worshiping God. And in this season, God, what God wants to see from you is that you learn how not to complain in seasons where you do not have. And this is a principle that many people fail to understand, that suffering is always seasonal. Even in the life of Job, the devil had to ask for permission to inflict suffering on God's servant. And you too, as God's servant, you too, as a child of God, the devil has to ask for permission to inflict anything on you. But you see, when God allows that infliction, then
In that moment, God wants to see your response because God knows that you love him too much that you will not allow sickness or pain or suffering or lack of resources of money that will cause you to separate yourself or to separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul later on says, and we know that in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Are you aware? Are you fully aware? Are you fully convinced that in all things, we are more than conquerors? We need to question ourselves each and every time. So whenever we find ourselves going through the challenge or through the test of resources, and even the other challenge that God can give us is that he will give us excess resources. So where you've been given enough money is also a test that where God checks our hearts. He checks how do we respond to money. When we have a lot of money, do we recognize that this money is not just ours? Have we gotten to the point of stewardship where we know that we are not owners, we are just caretakers? Is money yours or does all the money belong to God? And when you ask yourself that, then you will count yourself worthy to have received the resources that God has brought to your table. Now, if you dig into the secrets of ministries that grow are those that are able to account for every penny, for every coin that has been accorded to the ministry by the givers, by the believers. And this is because they know that resources are placed in the hands of the apostle. In fact, in the early church, the money was not placed in the hands, but it was brought to the feet of the apostles. That means it was to empower the spread of the gospel, because in those times they moved with their feet and they moved from place to place. And that's why we're told, blessed are the feet of those who bring good news, the ambassadors of peace. So the resources were placed at their feet, and this ensured that the gospel, that the apostles, the leaders were well provided for, the missionaries were well provided for. And even some of these resources was not just used by the missionaries alone. We can see how Paul was raising an offering from the various churches in Asia and for it to send to the church in Jerusalem that had undergone persecution. Remember, there was a great fire in Rome, and Emperor Nero blamed and found that the Israelites were easy prey to be targeted as the ones to be blamed for the fire. And because of that, he imposed slavery, he imposed persecution, and there was a great persecution against the people of the way, against the believers. And so Paul uses that, his influence over the churches he had raised, to raise an offering. And this offering is sent to meet the needs of the believers in Jerusalem and in Israel who are going through persecution. And where the persecution was great, remember him, Paul himself was once a persecutor of the saints, but God met him on the way to Damascus, and he received the truth, and he was able to turn, and he asked the simple question, who are you, Lord, and what must I do? And that is a question that every believer, and so resources are an area that God tests us, and this is part of the present suffering. A second area that God will test us is in the area of our desires, the area of our fleshly desires, and this he will either tempt us through sexual advances or lack of ability to exercise or rather to be with our spouses. And those are tests that God gives to check ourselves, to check our levels of tolerance, to check our resistance. And we can see that Joseph, for example, was brought forth an opportunity to commit wickedness, to commit immorality with his boss's wife, Potiphar's wife. And if he had done that, he would have aborted his destiny. And that is why God warns us that do not be godless like or immoral like Esau, who for a single bread of morsel or a bowl of lentils, he
sold his birthright. He despised that God-given birthright that God gave him as the firstborn son for a simple meal. He was hungry, he was famished, and for a temporal need, he satisfied his hunger at the expense of that which was eternal. And this is one big area where ministers, where servants, where sons of God, where children of God, where Christians often are subjected to this kind of test. And this kind of test affects pastors, it affects bishops, it affects, and no one is immune to it. Why? Because we are in our physical bodies, and no one should feel that they are too spiritual that they cannot find themselves, they have fallen. So that calls us for us to exercise ethics, for us to exercise vigilance in our interactions with members of the opposite sex, and even nowadays with members of the same sex, because we don't know how much depravity exists in our time and what might we might think as innocent gestures might be being interpreted at another level by someone else. So we are called to be very careful, to be vigilant. That means that you will shun away from every appearance of evil. Why do I call it an appearance? Because you might think that things, there is nothing, but to the outside world, all they need to is just a click of a camera and to run with a story that can defame you for the rest of your life. And I believe that there was a story, I think it must have been Evangelist Billy Graham, or one of the American evangelists, who he had purposed to always be moving with his wife, and there was a time where he was in a hotel room, and he was with his wife, and they had a knock on the door, and I think it's one of the journalists that had tried to arrange a call girl or a lady who would come in and tempt him. And as the door was knocked, I think the Holy Spirit either told him not to go to the door, but his wife to go and open. And when his wife went and opened, he found this lady, and at that moment too, the journalists were there ready to snap pictures, but they were embarrassed because they found that it was a wife. And so in that protection, in that moment, if he had not listened or if the wife had not gone to open, he would have been in the media defamed that when he's on his trips, he calls for ladies. And you see, so that is why we have to be very careful that these tests that God might give us of our immorality, of our satisfaction of our own flesh, that God helps us to overcome them, because no one is tempted beyond what they can bear. And these are tests that you should not be debating about. Don't think that you're so spiritual that you cannot fall. And Joseph proved it in that he took off and ran away. So there are times where such things happen, run off. Don't ask, what are you doing? Take off and do not even waste time. Because the more you waste time, the more that you'll find that you have fallen into the traps of the devil, and your ministry will be swallowed up for sure. You'll be consumed and you will have lost and aborted the ministry that God has called. And of course, the third test that God gives us is a test of glory. And this is where you find that men begin to recognize your gift. Men begin to honor your gift. Men begin to want to worship the feet that you walk, the path that you walk in. Men want to carry everything for you. Men want to hold your hand. Men want to give you bodyguards. And all these are tests of glory. How do you handle when things are shining? When you reach your shining face, do you turn away from the gospel? Is that the time where you turn away from God and you take all that glory? Remember Herod, who after he gave a speech and people shouted, "This is not the voice of a man, but this is the voice of God." And because he did not give glory to God, he was struck down by an angel and worms ate him. So God is very particular about his glory. No matter what anointing that God has given us or given you, you must be sensitive to know that it is for His glory, that this is delegated authority, this is delegated grace, and God is always checking to see our hearts that we are not proud, and to see our hearts that we are sensitive to God's leading, we are sensitive to His protection, we are sensitive to His doing, and we know and we try and avoid and ensure that anyone who wants to glorify us above self by direct to not do it, but when they do that, to direct it to the true source of glory, who is the Father in heaven, the Father of heavenly lights. And so when we know that we are under our Father, then we know that we can redirect any glory ascribed to us to Him. And of course, God will give you glory, because that's why the Bible says our present sufferings do not compare to the glory that shall be revealed in us. So don't mind and don't feel ashamed when things start to work out for you, when your ministry starts to grow, when God gives you the glory of land, the glory of a shelter, the glory of a church building, the glory of, you know, whether it is screens or AC or all that you need. So those are the blessings of God that God gives, and He desires the best for His children. And if we see Solomon, if we see King David, if we see Abraham, they had so much resources that God had blessed them in each and every way. But the difference is that they did not forget their God. They did not forget who they are. They did not forget the various promises that God had called them, except, of course, apart from Solomon. Solomon, who in his later age, his heart was drawn away by all the foreign women that he had married to serve their gods. And so that is why we are continually warned to not be unequally yoked by unbelievers, because in doing so, then we find ourselves trying to convert, you know, someone and who has not decided to go get born again. And you see, that's why Paul asks and the Bible asks, what assures you that you can save the unbelieving spouse? What is the assurance that you can save the unbelieving person? And we are not called to do missionary dating, for lack of a better word. Some people want to enter into marriage as a mission field. That is very risky, that is very dangerous, and that is not how God called marriage to be. Marriage is not, you're not supposed to marry someone so that you convert them. You will never convert them. Why? Because that is, I mean, even the scripture says a prophet has no honor in their own home. So it's very hard to preach to your own relatives. It's very hard to preach to your own family. And this is because you are with them. They see your weaknesses. They see everything that you do. And many times are not your character or the things in your life do not align with the message that you're saying. It's easier to preach to people who don't know you because, yeah, they don't know you and they see you as perfect. But anyone who knows that they need to share God's word with their family, that who knows that they need to have a right relationship with their wives and with their children, will know the importance of them being the message first before even speaking the message. So that is a concern, and let us not be missionary daters. Evangelize, disciple, and marry. That is not your job. You're not called to do that, but you are called to honor God, trust in God, and in due season, He's able to bring the right fit for you, the helpmate that is fit for your destiny. Because you must always know that God has a much, much bigger destiny than we can see it, than we can imagine it, or than we can look up to. But God is God, and He's on the throne, and He's faithful. Yeah, so those three tests, and those are some of the sufferings that we'll face as believers, but they are meant to grow us. There is nothing that you're facing that is beyond what is your capacity to bear. God tells us in His word that no temptation has seized you except that which is common to man. And in everything, God is able to provide a way
for escape. So keep looking around, keep checking where is the way of escape. So there is a greater glory that is to be revealed in us. The present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed in us. Rejoice, my brother. Rejoice, my sister. That pain is working out a testimony. That test is working out a testimony. That pain is for your perfection. God is perfecting you. That struggle is for your dominion. That struggle that you go through is to take you to the next level. God is promoting you. God is promoting you. Rejoice that you're being promoted in the Spirit. You're going through seasons of refreshing. You're going through seasons of being churned. Just know that there is glory in you. And the Bible tells us, I believe, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we have this treasure in earthen vessels. We have this treasure that tells us that even though outside we are being persecuted, you know, we are being pressed down. And I think you can read further on this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It says, therefore, since through God's mercies we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception and we do not distort the word of God. I will quickly jump to verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. That means we are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. So just know that whatever you're going through in your inside, your outside body is just a jar of clay. But in your inside, we have the inner man who is being renewed in the image and likeness of the Son of God. We are being conformed in the image and likeness of Christ. And that is what God is working in us. So just know that anytime you go through trials, anytime you go where you are hard-pressed on every side, know that you are being pushed on every side, but you are not crushed. You are being perplexed. You're finding yourself in not understanding, but you are not losing hope. You're not in despair. You are being persecuted, but you are not abandoned. You are persecuted. People say wicked things about you, but God has not abandoned you. And you might be struck down. They might slap you. They might throw you off the job. They might deny you a job. They might, do various things. But in all those things, we are not destroyed. And we know that we carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our bodies. I want to pray. Father God, I thank you for my listener. Thank you for them that are believing in you. Thank you for them that are trusting in you. Thank you for them that have heard the gospel, that have heard the truth, and that in that truth they have the ability to experience your grace, your mercy, and your power. I honor, I adore you, I magnify you, Lord. I thank you for your faithfulness, your hand, and your mercy. Blessed Redeemer, we reckon that our present sufferings are not worth to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Thank you for your word, that indeed you're working out glory. And this glory is for your precious name. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray and believe. Amen. Thank you for listening in. I do search on Spirit and Life on Facebook, YouTube, Telegram, and follow us on those various platforms and like and share this message as God leads you. Shalom.